living in your head, Alice. I'm the king here. Remember that. This house is my castle. I'm the king. Remember that. King, king, king. You are nothing. I'm peasant. This is my house, my castle. I'm the king.
It's the Gadget Grill on Sunday, August 8th, 2010. My name is Lee Stark.
And my name is Gary Stark.
And you're listening to the Gadget Grill, which we just announced, which is special because it's all about technology, and you don't get that often on a Sunday night. Normally, it's just cooking the roast and enjoying some television. There's not much on TV.
There's nothing on TV.
You should be listening to the radio.
On Sunday nights,
you should be listening to the radio.
Like, listen to the Gadget Grill.
Which you already are.
Yes.
On tonight's show, we're going to be looking at something radio-based, in fact.
We're talking about digital radio tonight.
That's a good thing I introduced us like that, because we're talking to someone who is actually going to tell us about how digital radio is more or less changing Australia.
It's going to change the whole landscape of radio.
It's going to make us do more work, basically. It's in here just to make us do more work.
That's right.
It's already bad enough I don't have a flying car, but they also want to make me do more work while I'm at the station, isn't that right?
Oh, of course. You've got to do something.
And we have to do something. Where's my sheet? Where's my running sheet?
There's your running sheet.
There's my running sheet. Right. Say something.
Say something. Okay. Well, we're talking about digital radio. We're going to talk about the upcoming federal election.
We are going to talk about it. It's probably important that we do. We have to remain, I guess, as unbiased as humanly possible, being that we're...
We can be biased.
You can be biased because you're a grumpy old man.
That's
I can't be quite as biased, but it's probably important we talk about it from a technology standpoint, because some of the issues being played in this election are based around a technology standpoint. Speaking of things like the filter and the National Broadband Network.
They're very important things in terms of technology, and they need to be addressed, and people need to understand how the various parties are talking about these issues and how they're going to treat them in the future.
Absolutely. We've also got that, plus a whole bunch of news. And tonight, because we've been giving away headphones in the past few weeks, we've had some very... I won't hit the microphone stand again.
Try not to hit it too much.
Handed out some headphones to some very happy people.
Yes.
Or after they got the headphones anyway. We're tonight giving away, in conjunction with this whole internet radio thing, digital radio thing, a digital radio.
We have a Nox, I think it's a classic digital, and we're giving that away tonight to one lucky listener, and you've got to work out what it is they've got to do to
Right now I've got to work it out on the spot.
Yeah, why not?
Right now on the spot. What it is you're not happy with about your current radio. Does that work? Seriously, we just thought of it. Just that then. We are so prepared that it's all about ad-libbing on this show. It's the ad-lib show.
It's the ad-lib show.
It's the ad-lib show.
There you go.
Yeah.
How is Ad these days?
He's a liberal. So,
okay.
Yeah. So, to call in at 02974408801, preferably while we're not on the air, so wait about 10-20 seconds till the song kicks in, and tell us what you're not happy with about your radio, or... You could go on Twitter. I know this is a new technology for a lot of you, but you go on Twitter and you respond to... You're not checking yours tonight?
No.
I'll check
just
mine.
Just do yours at Leighlo.
L-E-I-G-H-L-O. Twitter back to that address, and we'll be monitoring all of the entries.
And hopefully you may win
a digital radio.
A digital radio by the end of the night.
It's a pretty easy competition.
Easy competition, and the Ox Digital Radio is a great radio to win.
It could be that your cat ate your radio. It could be that your radio ate your cat, and that's why you're not happy with your radio.
Oh, yeah, you have little faith.
What? It could be that your radio ate your cat.
Oh, yeah, you have little faith.
That was your segue?
That was my segue.
That was a bad segue. This is The National from their newest disc with Little Faith. It's the Gadget Grill, broadcasting on 88.1 Radio 2RDJ, the voice of the Inner West.
And it's time for the news.
It is time for the news.
Do you want to go first?
You know what? I might go first. Have you heard what Volkswagen has come up with in the UK? It's not actually them. It's them with a group who actually deals in waste control, sewage control.
Oh, in that case, they've come up with a Volkswagen Beetle.
Yes, it's called the Biobug.
Okay.
You didn't quite hear about this, did you?
No, I did not. Okay. This is one I haven't heard about.
This is called it's the Biobug. It uses regular petrol, gas, and biogas. Now, Dad, ask me what biogas is.
Well, are we talking about biofuel or biogas?
Well, it's called biogas. Ask me what biogas is.
Well, what is biogas?
Biogas is everything...
Basically, yes.
Everything you currently go to the toilet for, mostly the number twos, turned into some sort of nice, charming gas to keep your car running. And what's so interesting about this is that this car is actually so efficient, it can drive around 16,000 kilometres on the waste from 70 homes.
That's pretty good.
That's pretty impressive.
That's pretty good.
So they're putting it into testing. They've got a fleet. They're putting it into testing. They've got a fleet about to test this. Just a small fleet of cars in the UK. It's from a company called Gen Eco, who also... Okay.
This is really putting the exhaust into exhaust.
Yeah, it is. But my question is this. What's it smell like coming out of the car?
Well, that's what I'm worried about. You know, the biofuel,
the fish and chip. It smells like fish and chips. Yeah. So I'm a little bit worried about that.
Yes. And I don't blame you. That could be rather unpleasant.
Depends on who has to smell it.
Something a little bit more pleasant is, you know, of course, there's the argument about whether a CD sounds better than vinyl, whether a vinyl sounds better than CD.
To be honest, I think stone sounds better than everything. We should get all our CDs pressed back to vinyl and then back to stone.
Okay, well, let's stop at that intermediate step, and let's get our vinyl, and let's construct out of some wooden glass a little case into which we can put our vinyl album. Pour some silicon onto it and get an impression
of
the
disc. You're talking about recasting everything?
I'm talking about recasting your vinyl.
Why?
Because you can.
because you're really rich and you can?
Well, it's not that expensive.
Okay, how much is it?
I don't know how much it is, but the...
Hold on a second. It's not that expensive. How much is it? I don't know how much it is.
Well, the kit that they were talking about for the silicon was only about $25.
Okay, that's actually not that expensive.
And I'd imagine that the kit would do more than one album. Hmm. And you use this kit to get a silicon impression, and then you use that as a master, and you put some liquid plastic in there, and you make yourself a single-sided album. You do one side at a time, of course.
Interesting.
Very.
Now, have you heard what's happening in San Francisco?
Let me see. Flowers in your hair?
No, there's not flowers in your hair. Have you heard that they are replacing...
Something to do with Apple?
No. Well, yes, but no. Okay. Have you heard they're actually replacing all the parking meters there?
Oh, were they using some solar power?
No, not just that. These are smart parking meters.
No, they're not.
Well, they are to a degree. They adjust...
No, they're not.
Shut up. Just stop being an old guy for 10 minutes. They adjust your parking rates based off supply and demand.
So if
there are more free spaces or less free spaces, you might end up having... So less free spaces, you might actually end up having to pay more, up to $6 US an hour. Compared to less, you might pay 25 cents. I'm curious to see how long this works.
$6 an hour. Sydney Council, will you please pay attention? If we could get the parking rates down to $6 an hour, that would be nice.
And $6 is the high, according to this.
That's right, yeah. What I would like to see, of course, is... in Sydney, you know, we have the speed limits.
Mm-hmm.
I view them as a challenge. See if you can get up to the speed limit the way the traffic is so bad.
Don't encourage people.
Okay, on the subject of Apple...
Aren't you supposed to be a role model?
Yes.
Okay.
And I roll.
Yeah, you do. You do. You roll down the stairs when I push you.
That's right. On the subject of Apple, they've added in support for raw image files from milk cameras.
Mirrorless interchangeable lenses.
So if you use if you're on a Mac and you use Aperture or iPhoto, you mm-hmm. will now have support for raw images from those cameras, so you can do what you like.
Meanwhile, the rumors from Apple are getting a little bit interesting, especially if you're in the market for an iPhone 4, because the rumor at the moment is suggesting.
Don't.
Stop telling them what to do. You're not allowed to do it. You're not allowed to do that. You know better.
Ignore me.
Yeah, ignore
everyone else does.
That's what I certainly do. The rumors at the moment are suggesting that there could be an iPhone 5 as early as January next year. I mean, this is normal. Apple used to have the Apple launches. In January of each year, and they apparently had gotten rid of them. But given the amount of problems they've had with the iPhone 4, not as big in Australia, not as big of an issue, the iPhone 4 antenna issue, hasn't been as big of an issue because the telcos like Telstra are actually a lot better than AT&T. That said, with the problems they're having overseas, it makes sense to relaunch something. But there's another rumor, possibly for an iPad 7-inch coming as well.
I don't see the need for an iPad 7-inch.
You may not, but they do. Or might.
I've heard this rumor before, and I don't think there's any strength in that. I don't think it's going to happen.
As much strength as in the antenna of the iPhone, Dad?
Well, you know, sort of...
Let's not get started. You've already pissed off one person today.
Yeah, I know. Sorry, Matt, but hey, that's how it is. Just when you thought it was safe to start using your Windows PC, Kaspersky found an interesting issue on Windows this week.
On Windows? I like Windows. What's wrong with Windows,
Well, you know how you get the certificates? You digitally sign your certificates, and that tells you that the app is a good app. And,
yep.
And well, apparently not. Microsoft, if the certificate, the digitally signed certificate, hasn't been signed, or if the certificate's been altered, that doesn't matter. Microsoft will still install the software, and they won't tell you that.
Windows 7 or Windows XP?
Yes.
Oh, both? Doesn't,
yes.
Wow, that's a pretty big issue.
Yes, exactly.
Oh, wow. Fix for that, Microsoft?
I believe they've already issued a fix for it, but even so, an engineer at Kaspersky did, he took some legitimate software, mm-hmm. went in and removed the signature from the signature file, and installed it, and Windows went blithely on its merry way and let him install the software without giving him any sort of a warning that...
I'm glad it didn't give him a warning. That would have been kind of strange.
No. He found this originally when he looked at the Stuxnet worm that came out in the last month or so. Because it was using a fake digital certificate.
Those Russians over at Kaspersky are very, very smart people.
They are very, very smart people.
Can I give you something good from Microsoft? It's not really from Microsoft. It has to be. It's done on a Microsoft site. You know, Bing?
Yes,
Bing, the search engine for Bing. It's Bing. It's like that. Yeah.
Yes.
Bing, Microsoft search engine, the competitor to Google. Well, they have a mapping section. The maps are quite cool, but someone has come up with something called the taxi fare calculator on Bing Maps. It doesn't work in many places in the world yet. Sydney, Melbourne, they're the only places it'll work in Australia right now. But what you do is you type in where you're going, or where you're going, and it will work out roughly how much you should be paying on the taxi, including the amount of time you'll be spending waiting in traffic, all of that, for you ahead of time. It's really cool. It tells you how long it should take and how much it will cost you at their estimates. And as a downside to it, it requires Microsoft Silverlight technology because Bing Maps requires Silverlight, which means there's fat chance of you running it on practically any phone and having it in a portable environment.
Of course, who uses Silverlight? I'm sorry.
Bing do, apparently, Dad.
Oh, well, yes, of course they do, but apart from that, you know...
Well, they do. They do, you know, then that's it. Have you got any more news, Dad?
That's the last one I've got. Do you have any more?
I have one really big news story. It's huge. It's so big, it's taken 90 days to get.
90 days.
90 days.
90 nights?
No, well, probably 90 nights. But 90 days. Pi. You know pi? P-I? And not like Magnum Pi either.
No.
P-I. Pi has been counted to the 5 trillionth digit.
Wow.
Yeah. That makes it...
That makes it a big number.
Yeah, that makes it a huge number. And it took... This computer, it took a 3.33 gigahertz Intel... I think it's a quarter, an 8-core, 96 gigs of memory, 39 terabytes of storage, Windows Server 2008, and 90 days to do it.
Wow.
So you need all of that stuff if you want to calculate Pi, or at least play the next video game from Electronic Arts. Either way.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
There you go.
But, so that's the news. I got to admit, Dad, I was trying to get down at least the first 10 digits of Pi, and it was growing on me up until I
ran out of... Just like a wart. Just or maybe like Dash and Will.
Maybe like Dash and Will. This is Australian's Dash and Will with Growing On Me.
It's a strange
It's the Gadgetville on 88.1 Radio 2RDJ, broadcasting from the station in the Inner West. And we have a talk right now about radio of sorts.
Indeed we do. We've got a chat here with Jeremy Sedley.
We met
with Jeremy Sedley during the week at a rather noisy restaurant, so we apologise in advance for that. But, you know, these things happen.
There's got to be a place for journalists like us to go. We can go to the quiet restaurant. No one talks at the quiet restaurant.
That's a restaurant where there's nobody.
Oh, yeah. So we got to go to a restaurant nobody actually likes.
That's the one,
and
yes.
Not eat the food.
That's right.
Right, maybe next time we'll do that.
Yeah. Or maybe we'll go somewhere where the food is good and we'll deal with it.
Right.
But digital radio is now here in Sydney and in Australia. It's been with us now for a year. And we thought it'd be a good idea to speak with Jeremy Sedley, who is from Smart IT, and he's going to talk to us about what digital radio means and what it is. And just a reminder, if you want to win a digital radio, an Ox Classic digital radio, give us a call on 97440881, or else send a Twitter message to @Leigho, L-E-I-G-H-L-O.
In fact, it's an interesting point, because this is an interview piece and it goes on for a little bit, make sure to call us at the station, because we'll actually be able to pick up the phone call.
That's right. Let's have a listen to what Jeremy has to say about digital radio.
Sedley from Smart IT. Smart IT are the importers of the Ox digital radios, and we're going to talk to Jeremy tonight about digital radio. I'm here, Lee's here, and Jeremy. Good evening, Jeremy.
Good evening, how you doing?
I'm doing well, Lee.
Yeah, I guess doing well.
Let's talk about digital radio. What actually is it, Jeremy?
Well, digital radio is something that was released in Australia in May 2009 with an official public release in July 2009. And it's not a new technology by any means. Whilst it's new in Australia, it was released in 1995 in the UK, and it's a technology which was designed by Philips.
Right.
Essentially, it's a different way in layman's terms, it's a different way of getting the music or a radio feed out to the consumer instead of using an analog feed, using a digital feed.
No, naturally, because it's digital versus analog, the expectation is it sounds better.
And it does, in fact. It does sound better, though a lot of people may question that, but without a doubt, the AM feeds sound a lot better.
What's on AM compared to what it sounds like on digital is a lot better. But that's not the real advantage of digital, is it?
No, the real advantage of digital, I mean, there's a ton of different advantages. A lot of the advantages actually go to broadcasters as well.
Yeah.
Because it's a hell of a lot cheaper for the broadcasters to get their signals out on a digital basis as opposed to analog. I think the equipment essentially is cheaper.
And they can send out more signals in parallel too.
They can send out more signals, more information. So some of the major differences between digital and analog radio. Each digital radio has a screen like a standard radio.
Right.
But you get text on those radios, so it gives you information. So let's say you're listening to a commercial music station. It might tell you the name of the track. It might tell you some information about the next song coming up. If you're listening to an AM station on digital, because all commercial AM and FM stations in Australia are rebroadcast on digital. So, for example, if you were listening to the ABC, they might give you a newsflash information, they might give you a web address, they might give you a telephone number, they might give you information about the next show coming up. So all of this scrolls across your screen as moving text.
It's making the radio more than just a thing you listen to and ignore for the rest of the time.
It's what is required, because obviously radio's been around for a very long time, and it's gone through
years.
Yeah, and it's gone from AM, and then it went on to FM, and then the next step is digital. And in Australia, we use a technology called DAB Plus, which, in relation to what's available in the UK, essentially the broadcasters can get twice as much data through down the pipes. And in fact, in Australia, we've got the ability to use colour digital radio, so a radio with a colour screen, which then enables pictures. So right now, every single radio station is sending down coloured pictures.
They're broadcasting radio in colour.
They're broadcasting radio in colour. But not moving colour, because if it was moving colour, it would be TV. So it's slideshow colour.
Yeah.
And that is available with a couple of brands of radio. Not ours at this point in time, but a couple of brands have that already.
Most of the radios that I'm seeing, most of the digital radios that I'm seeing, have that retro design.
Yeah.
They look like mantle radios from the 50s.
That's right. And that has been the theme for many manufacturers, including ourselves, and our Vantage, our portable radio, looks like really like a 1935 type design radio.
Yeah.
So, but the classic is got a slightly more modern feel, but it's slightly retro, slightly modern. It's quite hard to distinguish it, but it's a good looking radio.
So when I'm listening to digital radio now, I'm going to get a digital display telling me some information about what's being broadcast or the station or some new stuff. What other advantages can I see with can I expect to see when I'm using a digital radio?
Well, you don't have to tune it. So what happens is you turn your radio on, and depending which city you're in, you turn it on and it will self-scan and it will put in all the stations by name.
Right.
So there's no tuning. Each radio has the ability to preset, but you don't really need the presets because it's already there. So, for example, in Sydney, you can now get it ranges from 39 to 43 stations, depending on what's going on, because having digital radio enables the broadcasters to have things called event radio. So, for example, the ABC have been very prolific in event radio.
Yeah.
They've had ABC Woodstock to celebrate the 40 years of Woodstock. ABC Beatles, just last week, to celebrate 40 years of Beatles. A lot of them are 40 years because we've had a lot of 40-year celebrations this year. The 40th year celebration of a man landing on the moon.
Yeah,
they had ABC Moon. Mm. And literally, they turn it on for a week or two. They turn it off maybe for a day or two, and it's great.
That's using the bandwidth and the spectrum.
Yes,
very, very creatively.
Yeah, really creatively. And look, there's a lot of other companies out there doing the same thing. But it's clever. Event radio is clever, and event radio is which will draw people in. I mean, for me, having grown up in the UK, and I grew up with Kiss FM and Radio 1 playing dance music,
yeah.
I've been in Australia for 15 years. There's never really been a dance music station, unless you live in Bondi, where you get Bondi FM,
which
is a fantastic station. And, of course, there are some shows on SBS which have dance and that sort of music, and, of course, on Triple J at various times. But digital radio has enabled people to broadcast dance music now 24/7. Nova Nation, 24/7 across the country, digital radio. And that, to me, is, for me in the car, it's been brilliant, because that's what I miss in the car, is that sort of music.
And,
right.
And see, the thing for us is actually kind of useful. On the downside, it means that we can actually, or we have to relearn everything, which is not so much relearning everything.
Well, we don't.
But we can put in the little text box when we're arguing with each other.
Yeah.
And we can tell people to take sides. Call now to take sides.
Yeah.
Well, that makes the radio more interactive as well.
It's more interactive.
Interactive is a good thing.
And that's, look, you know what it's required? Is that the youth of today, makes me sound quite old, but the youth of today, people 20 years younger than myself, aren't listening to radio as much as people of my age group. That's what I think. And this is what it will enable. So, for example, there's a model out there, not one of ours, which has a sort of Facebook client on the radio. It's a colour radio, touchscreen radio. And these are the sort of things you'll see coming forward in radio to try and make radio appeal to the younger generations. Another example, there's a channel called Choose the Hits. And Choose the Hits...
Interactive radio.
Yeah. The listener goes online and you either basically say, tick a box saying this song rocks or this song sucks, and then the more ticks it gets as rocks is the next tune that plays.
Right. Hot or not for music.
Yeah, that's right.
The question I have to ask, the most basic question is, will we see this thing on converged devices? Because very few people carry around several devices. You carry your phone does everything. Will we see the digital radio on phone?
That's a good question. I don't get FM radio on our cell phones today? Are we going to see digital radio on our cell phones?
I think it is a good question, but the situation is this, is that, let me give an example, the iPhone. The iPhone's available in so many countries across the world. Now, of course, like many other things in terms of technology, there's more than one standard of digital radio.
Yeah.
America uses HD, and which is satellite radio.
Yes, the satellite XM stuff.
Correct. England, the UK, uses DAB, which is the original 1995 developed radio, which the BBC brought out, and no one could listen to it because no one had a DAB radio.
Right, yeah.
Fast forward, you know, that country sold 11 million digital radios. They're in a problem. They need to go to DAB Plus, and they can't. So they're creating new technologies to allow images and information to come through the DAB radios called Radio Viz and Radio EPG and all these other technologies.
So you have all these ridiculous amounts of technologies. Yeah. They don't work together.
Germany has agreed to go DAB+. France is using DMB. Okay,
so that's typical for us.
Yeah. So, but in Europe, it's starting to become commonplace digital radio. And as an example, the French government have put forward a law or legislation that every car made in France from 2013 has to have a digital radio in it. And the same thing's happening in the UK, and the same thing will have to happen here because 33.3% of listening is done in a car.
Yeah.
That is very interesting because I can remember a time when cars did not come with a car radio, and now it's
I don't remember that time myself.
I definitely don't remember.
I can remember an 8-track in my dad's car, but that was a long time ago.
I worry about you sometimes.
8-track, that's probably a good way to finish off the interview, Jeremy. Thank you very much for joining us here on the Gadget Grill.
My pleasure.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Jeremy.
You want to say something? Because my headphones are somewhere here.
He's lost his headphones, people. He's lost his earphones. That's terrible. Thank you, Jeremy. That was very interesting talking about digital radio, and it's really the future of radio in Australia. It's going to be very, very different.
Is it going to make us do more work? Am I going to have my headphones there permanently the entire time?
From our point of view as presenters, it's not going to be that much different, although, you know, depending upon how we configure the show in terms of sending the information out onto the digital stream, we may have to.
So if we decide to send out pictures of the items we're reviewing.
Yeah.
No. Oh.
Yeah. We could, you know, well, we could take a picture of it and move it onto the computer and then transmit that in real time. That'd be cool.
That'd be kind of cool.
Yeah.
Work ahead of time.
Yeah,
that
I know.
Be very dangerous.
I know.
Well, at least you know we're here, Dad. We're here for the long haul.
Yeah, well, I'm in here.
Oh, why? I know you're in here.
Yes.
But who else is in here with us?
Sia.
This is Sia.
Sia.
Shut up, Dad. This is Sia with I'm In Here. It's the Gadget Grill here, broadcasting on 88.1, and we're going to get into our second topic. We hope you like that topic, which is...
We're talking about the election and...
was that you attempting to do a, yeah, what you got, sort of sound?
No.
It kind of sounded like it was for a second.
I'm sorry. We're going to talk about the election and how it affects technology.
Because it does affect technology.
Because there's a very big couple of technological subjects that are... up for discussion in this election. The first one of those is the National Broadband Network, the NBN.
Which is very important, especially as a way of getting people all across the country to have faster internet speeds.
It's not just the faster internet speeds. That is an important part of it so that we can catch up with the rest of the world. But it's also important that businesses and schools and hospitals and everything all get very good, very quick and easy internet access. And without the NBN, that's not going to happen. It hasn't happened yet. So without the National Broadband Network, it's not going to happen. Now, the policies of the various parties are that the current Labor government is going ahead with the NBN and they want to continue that. But the Liberal Party wants to drag us back into the dark ages, into the 1950s, and not have a national broadband network. I'm sorry, that is just a stupid policy. It is just wrong.
It is. But on the other side of the coin, then you have Labor, who have been trying to push forward a policy since they've been in office.
Of the filter,
the internet filter, which is a way of, essentially, in theory, its idea is to try and protect children and families from the dangers of the internet. In practice,
it's not going to work.
It's just so easy
to circumvent.
Not only will it not work, it doesn't actually protect anything.
It's more
censors people from things.
Yeah, it... It cannot achieve its desired goals. It is just totally impractical. It is unworkable. It is unfeasible. It is just so wrong.
The problem we have is then we need a middle ground.
Well, we need to have a middle ground. Now, the issue here, of course, is that the current Labor government wants that, and that is wrong. And the current opposition party, they say, no, we're not going to have the filter, which is a good position to have. Now, that's a conundrum. I don't know how we get around that. It is a serious problem for the country. What's more important, the broadband network or the filter?
I'm not quite sure the answer to that one.
I don't know either, but I think we should just not vote for anyone because they're all a bunch of...
I don't think you can say that.
I can't encourage you to make the law, can I?
No. I don't think you can encourage someone to not vote. I mean, not voting won't get anywhere.
No.
It would be nice if politicians actually listened to the people for a change.
I think what you should do is ring up your local members and tell them what you think.
Absolutely.
And if you agree with us that the NBN is important, then you need to make sure that your members are aware of that. And if you agree with us that the filter is a waste of time, you need to make some very, very loud noises and let them know exactly how you feel about
that. Wasn't democracy supposed to be about by the people for the people? What if it happened to that as opposed to by the politician for the politician, which is where it currently is now?
Yeah, well...
It almost seems like the hormones of these actual political parties just haven't really developed. Like, they're all immature children for the most part.
Well, they are a bunch of kids sometimes. You see the way they don't play nicely at all in the federal parliament,
It's like having a thorn in your side.
It is indeed. What, Tracy Thorn?
That's the Tracy Thorn with hormones. See my double on there? Yes. It's the Gadget Grill, the final moments, essentially, of the Gadget Grill, because we've still got a few minutes before this song that I've got lined up kicks in. So we're going to
have a couple of minutes, yes.
Well, so we're going to talk about the competition.
We'll talk about the competition. We have a winner.
We do. Do you want to talk about that or the useless gadget first?
Well, let's talk about the competition winner first of all. Let's read out a couple of the entries that you got there.
Quite a few. It's always good to know that our listenership actually heads all the way as far north as Queensland.
Yes.
Quite a few, actually. Had some from New South Wales as well. We had, this is from Michelle, my old radio is too dusty, jammed with Play-Doh and stuck on AM. Makes a neat shelf, though. I think it has iPod envy. I like that one.
I like that, yes.
I've also got I don't have a radio and my home is lacking the chatter of hyped up radio hosts and top 40 pop from Shannon Malloy. I'm not really a top 40 host, so I'm not really sure if I quite dig.
We're sort of more like the bottom 40.
We're like the bottom 206, maybe?
The bottom 40.
The bottom 40. And coming up, the next worst song.
Yes.
Miley Cyrus.
Billy Ray.
Billy, yeah. I thought they were all bad.
Yes.
But we did find someone in New South Wales, in Leichhardt, actually. So it is the Inner West.
Absolutely.
It's about as Inner West as it gets from the stuff we normally see.
And this was from Luke, wasn't it?
This is from Luke from Leichhardt, actually. Luke from Leichhardt. There we go. He said, his is an old speaker, old tube speaker AM radio he picked up in a secondhand store. It's attractive, but it doesn't give him much access to the other bands and especially our show.
Well, you
can't get much more suck up than that.
That's right.
But actually, it's a tube radio, which makes a big difference because we're a technology show. We appreciate that.
We appreciate the mention of a tube amplifier, absolutely.
And you know what? In the spirit of Windows and Mac OS, it's time he gets an upgrade.
Absolutely. So, Luke, we'll send you an email and tell you how you can collect your Aux Classic Digital Radio.
Absolutely.
Congratulations, Luke. Well done. Now, useless gadget. I have got an absolute doozy for you tonight. How about, you know, because we're all on Twitter these days, aren't we?
Yeah. I certainly am, and the few people who responded to us on Twitter for the competition certainly are.
And you can now, if you're pregnant, you can get a device called, or you'll soon be able to get a device called the Kickbee.
And I'm sorry, the what?
The Kickbee. K-I-C-K-B-E.
I thought you said, hold on, Dad.
Yeah, exactly. No.
Yeah, you didn't want me to kick you.
No.
Okay,
no.
I apologize.
And from their website, it says, the Kickbee is a device that updates Twitter when a baby kicks its mother from the womb.
What about when a child kicks their mother just because they're insolent brats? Is there one of those yet?
No, that doesn't count.
No?
That doesn't count.
Oh, bugger.
But when you just did that, of course, you could tweet.
I just kicked my dad who's on the radio with me.
That's right.
That could work.
But yeah, so... I figured that was pretty well qualified to be a useless gadget. I can't think of any good reason why that device exists.
because it can, I guess.
Can you imagine the extent of the tweets that you're going to get from that? Kick.
Actually, kick. That's not bad. We'll probably kick. End the show.
It's going to get boring,
hold
isn't
on,
it?
Hold on, Dad. I'll simulate the tweets while you take us out. This is we're going to end with Christian Scott with the eraser.
So you can erase the
kick.
The kick, yeah. Okay, you have been listening to the Gadget Grill.
Kick.
Here on 2RDJ FM 88.1 on the internet, www.radio2rdj.com.
Kick.
The Gadget Grill comes to you from the studios of 2RDJ, and we broadcast to the local government areas of Ashfield, Canada,
Kick.
Burwood, Canada Bay, Burwood, and Strathfield.
And the local suburb of Kick.
Yes, and we'll be back here next Sunday night at 9 o'clock.
Kick.
To tell you more about the latest news and whatever in gadgets and technology. My name is Gary Stark. Have Kick. A good week.
My name is Lee Kick Stark, and apparently I've got a baby kicking. This is Christian Scott with the eraser. We should be back next week with maybe some prizes and more.
We'll have more prizes more and more technology for
yeah,
you.
Yeah, more technology.
Have a good week, people.
Shake a stick at. See ya.